Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's time for Darren and Donick, named Nashville's best sports talk show by the Nashville Scene, with hosts Darren McFarland and Willie Donick on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Second hour of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick with you on this, I guess, stopped rainy Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Tonight, over at Memorial Gym, Vanderbilt hosting the number one team in the land. The Vols come to town. The last time that happened, Willie and I were there. Bruce Pearl came off winning that unbelievable game against the Memphis Tigers at the FedEx Forum, came in as the number one team in the land to take on Vanderbilt. I think it was, a Tuesday night after they had just beaten Memphis on Saturday night.
I believe that's correct.
It was a crazy, crazy atmosphere here in Nashville, and the Commodores took down Tennessee, the number one team. So it didn't take long for number one to get knocked off their perch.
Shane Foster, a big night. That night, A.J. Ogilvie.
I'm not sure that's going to happen tonight. I don't think this team is quite equipped. Let's talk to the man who will be behind the mic, giving you the play-by-play on ESPN2, Carl Ravish. Carl, how you doing? Good morning.
How are you guys doing? I'm doing great. Bruce Pearl, I talked to him about that, actually. He tells I think it's a funny story. It's a Bruce Pearl funny story in any event. He, on his banquet circuit, when he goes and speaks, he was given a speech, I think within the last couple of months, and he does use that game as part of his speech because he had a Tennessee fan who said, "Hey Bruce, I remember back in 2008, you guys beat Memphis, and then you came into Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt was a really good team, and you guys lost." And the joke that Bruce tells is, this guy says, "Look, I know it was great while it lasted, but I've had Viagra pills last longer than you guys were number one." So that's a Bruce Pearl banquet story about losing the number one seed right away after being declared number one.
Carl, thank you for joining us. I think you just need to end on that note. Mic drop. See you later. Good job. Well done.
That's a Bruce Pearl joke. It's not mine, but it's a good line. Whoever came up with it is a good line.
That's fantastic. This Vanderbilt team has obviously got huge problems. They're the only winless team in conference play. Tennessee right now just looks so much better than ever. They don't look like they're a fluke that they're number one. I mean, they didn't look great Saturday, Carl, in their win over Alabama, but you're not going to be great and smoke everybody every night. Let's start with Tennessee. When you see the Volunteers, what do you see?
I see the best team in the country. And to me, they've been the best team in the country for a while. I had them number one in the SEC ahead of Kentucky when the season started. And they've just gotten better. As I sit here watching their practice, you know, you're looking at real grown men in Schofield and Williams. I think Bowden and Bone are terrific in the backcourt. I love watching Bone drive and stop, pull up, and hit foul line jump shots. Their bench is getting better. Pons and Fulkerson, to me, they are the class of the league, and I just was with Kentucky last night. They're the best team in the league. Alabama beat Ole Miss last night. Ole Miss just had a really good start, and Alabama dismissed them. I think Alabama and that game says more about Alabama than it did about Tennessee, not being as good as I think they are and other people. I think Alabama's good. And look, conference road games are real hard to win, so that didn't surprise me what Alabama did. And you're right, Tennessee struggled a little bit, but they ended up getting a win. And you're going to have to win games by 30, and you're going to have to win ugly games by 5 or 6. And this team that I'm looking at right now with their coach and their experience and their abilities is an absolute national title contender.
How about on the flip side? Darius Garland, the news has come out. He has declared to go to the NBA. Strange timing, but nonetheless, only 5 games as a Commodore. And, Carl, they just haven't looked like a team that's ever recovered from that injury.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't even know if they recovered from last year's they've been banged up. I feel bad for Bryce. Missouri went and dealt with the same thing with Porter last year. Here you are with Garland this year. And I know ESPN as a network, in the summer when we were selecting games and helping with schedules, that Vanderbilt was one of the teams that we wanted to see often because there was a lot of excitement around them. And I don't think they've recovered from that. You know, watching football, Mike Vrabel didn't complain too often about the injuries that the Titans had, and here we are. I don't think Bryce is really complaining too much about it, and it's part of the game. You got 10 guys, and you really have, you know, 7 or 8 who are going to contribute. When you lose your number one, and you don't have the depth of Kentucky or the depth of Tennessee or even the depth of Auburn, it's gonna hurt you, and that's what we're seeing. You just got to avoid the snowball. I think it is incumbent on the 14,000 and however many are rooting for Vanderbilt tonight to do their best to help. It is college basketball. There are human beings playing, but yeah, they're licking their wounds, and I don't see a win tonight for Vanderbilt based on the way they're going and how good Tennessee is.
Yeah, and it may not feel like a home game either. There may be a whole lot of orange in there.
Yeah.
I want to ask you real quick, and then I'll turn things over to Willie. Have you enjoyed doing college basketball games?
I love it. I do. Yeah, I've been so fortunate for 25 years there to do a variety of things. Little League is always near the top. It was kind of cool. We drove up from Lexington and past Goodlettsville, and, of course, Goodlettsville was in the Little League World Series not too long ago, so that was kind of nice to see that sign. I love Little League. I love the Major League stuff, but college basketball, as simple and silly as it sounds, when you have a clock and all you've done for the most part is a baseball game at the college level, the Little League level, the Major League level, yeah, there's something really refreshing and nice about knowing the game, you know, is being dictated by a clock. You know, there's a pressure to get a shot off in 24 seconds or whatnot. There's a clock that says you got 2 minutes to play and it's a 5-point game. I do love that. There's a different energy about it. And obviously when you're on a college stage, those atmospheres you can't match. So yeah, I do. I love college basketball. I grew up in Massachusetts and I grew up when Larry Bird and the Celtics were outstanding. So basketball was the sport I watched more than anything. The Red Sox were okay. The Patriots were awful. And the Bruins were a good team year in and year out. But the Celtics and Larry Bird and McHale and Parrish and Dennis Johnson, those were my guys growing up as far as sports to watch literally nightly because Bird spoiled everybody, or at least all of us.
Carl Ravage, I can see how that could happen. Carl Ravage is with us, ESPN's versatile man, doing some play-by-play tonight at Memorial Gym. Vanderbilt against Tennessee. And Carl, just looking at Tennessee, this is something that's rare in college basketball these days, and it is a team full pretty much of juniors and seniors. And I just wonder how well that will serve them over the long haul here as you evaluate them against some of the teams now like Kentucky and Duke who, you know, turn over a lot of their roster, it seems like, every year.
Yeah, I think it's a big advantage, and I think it's a big advantage in neutral site games and road games because they're not going to necessarily be rattled, and they've had experience in those places. So I think it benefits Tennessee more this year than even last year when they were somewhat of a mature team. It was classic. Having done the Kentucky game last night, I think it was Kenny Payne or Tony Barbee, one of them was talking about how it feels like in the case of Mississippi State, they got guys that have been there forever. Like Quindary Weatherspoon seems like he's in year 6. And,
right.
And from the Kentucky perspective, if a player has been anywhere more than 1 year, it feels like they've been there forever because they're all 1 year guys. Here you got great experience to go with great talent, and you got a coach who's done all this before. They literally, I mean, if you were to have a checklist of, you know, 5 or 6 things for a national champion, they check every single box, Tennessee. They check them all.
Carl, we're going to sneak one baseball question in. We have to.
I love Vanderbilt. I love Tim Corbin. Is that the question?
No, we're not going to go there, although preseason number one, it's going to be a fun year. Everybody is really looking forward to what they have going on this year. But with the Hall of Fame getting announced yesterday, I don't think anybody has any problem with the guys that were in there. To me, the intriguing thing is what's going to happen in the coming years as Clemens and Bonds inch up in the percentage. And then you have on the horizon in a couple years, A-Rod and some other guys that will go on to the ballot. It seems to get more and more complicated every year, but it's going to be very interesting to see how close this gets.
I think until there's a generational change in the people that are doing the voting, that those guys are not going to see their totals climb rapidly. I think it's incremental. You use the word inching. I think that's an accurate word to use with those guys. And until people who are voting literally fall off and other younger people vote, there seems to be a little bit more forgiveness in that generation. Heck, at some point you may have people voting who never saw any of those guys play. I was fortunate enough to cover all four of those guys who got in yesterday, their entire careers. They were, when you look at the list of guys from Yucina and Halladay, Edgar Martinez, they were as good a people, Rivera for sure, as they were players. First of all, you check the Hall of Fame box on the field. And then literally, Messina was a little quirky, but every one of them, there was a maturity about them. They understood their responsibilities to the media. None of them were ever in too much trouble, if any. You never read about them doing anything, you know, outside of what would be considered acceptable norms for athletes. There is that factor. I mean, yesterday's a great example of you want to hold up four guys compared to the ones you just mentioned. One is a brand new card that just came out of the dealership, and another one has got all sorts of rust on it, and you're looking at it and you're like, geez, the engine may be good, but there's just so many things about that I don't want to buy it. And I think that's where voters fall with, you know, as you mentioned, Bonds and Clemens and Rodriguez. And until the voting body changes, I don't see a great deal of empathy or support for those guys. I just don't.
Carl, Willie,
it changes.
Willie knows that for well over a decade, I have been beating the Edgar Martinez drum, so I was happy to see him get in. The other drum that I've been beating along with Edgar Martinez, I covered the Indians from 94 to 97.
Right.
I would love to see Omar Vizquel. I think Omar Vizquel is a Hall of Famer. That's just me.
And yeah,
I know he only
in.
Got.
Yeah.
You think he'll get in?
I think he gets in.
Okay.
I do. I think his glove for the years that he was there. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we've seen in recent years a bunch of guys who are either bat only or glove only, and certainly in Edgar's case, one dimensional bat only. Vizquel, to me, what he did in a generation of other unbelievable shortstops, as you know, stood out as the best defensive shortstop of all of them. I mean, he's Ozzie Smith. He's magic with his glove. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
All right. I love it. Hey, enjoy the game tonight at Memorial Gym. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Carl Ravish. He'll be behind the mic tonight doing the play-by-play for Vanderbilt in Tennessee. 6 o'clock tip, ESPN2 over at Memorial Gym. We'll come back. We heard you. You heard us say that Darius Garland had made his decision. We'll talk about it on the other side and a little bit about tonight's game. You're listening to Darren Adonik, 102.5 The Game.